Last Thursday night, we began to fellowship from this matter that is found in the book of 1 John, chapter 2, and verses 20 and 27. So let's turn to 1 John, chapter 2, and look again at these verses in this epistle of John concerning the anointing. And what is the anointing? 1 John, chapter 2. And I'm going to read verses 18 through 20, and then also verses 25 through 28. Verse 18, he says, "Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an anointing from the Holy One." The word unction in the King James should be changed to anointing there. "And ye know all things." Then, verse 25, it says, "And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. And ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teacheth you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." Praise the Lord for this section of the word. Here we could see that John does make a distinction between an inward experience of the Lord and an outward experience. And that existing at that time were a number of professing believers. And among those professing believers, there were some that had a real, genuine, personal, inward experience with the Lord. And there were others that associated with the believers, but did not have a deep inward experience. But it was like they were just there without anything real substantial in their experience. So we could say they were just outward. And eventually, what began to happen is that the ones that had the inward touch with the Lord remained with him, and remained together, and went on together. And the ones that had just an outward experience of the Lord went out and left, even though they were there among the believers. According to 1 John 2 and verse 19, he says, "They went out from us." Who went out from them? These antichrists. And this is not referring to the antichrist, but referring, even by that time, many that were anti-Christ, against Christ. But not against Christ merely in a doctrinal way, but against the indwelling Christ, the moving Christ, and the Christ that was anointing the saints. Because we know from this word, as we looked at it last week, anointing, chrisma, is derived from the Greek word Christos, which is Christ. And chrisma is simply a gerund, a verbal noun, having the characteristics of a noun and of a verb, indicating that this is the movement of a person. The anointing is just the movement of Christ, a person, living within us and anointing us with himself. It's his movement. And with his movement, his very essence is imparted into our being. So we realize this matter of the anointing is speaking of an inward experience of the Lord.
especially from verse 27. In 1 John 2:27, it defines it clearly, but the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you. So this anointing is something in us. It's abiding there. And then he speaks about the same anointing teacheth you of all things. Of course, as we pointed out, this all things does not mean we become omniscient so that we know everything, like all knowledge. But listen, it means we know all the things we need to know. We need to know about our daily life, about our relationships with others, about deception. We know all things by the teaching of this anointing. So, we can see that this is an inward matter. And there was definitely among the believers the indwelling Christ with the inward experience of the Lord. But there were some that were anti this. They were against this. They were not in a real personal inner relationship with the Lord. Although they were present, they had no real substance in their experience. And they are identified as anti-Christ. Not only anti-against the person of Christ and understanding the truth about his person, but anti this Christ living within, even anointing. Anyway, we have to see. These were the ones that are mentioned in verse 19. They went out from us, but they were not of us. So by that time, even then, at the end of the first century, the early churches were not doing that well. If you really look at 1 John and 2 John and John's last letters, you realize there was a lot of things beginning to creep in. And there was the need for the believers to be able to discern what was the reality. What was the truth? And so John writes this letter especially to give several tests that really show us how we could discern the reality and the truth in contrast to that which is deceptive and false. And so John brings up this matter of the anointing as one of the ways the believers could test and know those that were trying to seduce them. And what was false? It was by the inner life. So we have to see that in these passages of the scripture, something is presented to us that we can either be a real inward believer or we can be just an outward believer. That our experience can either be outward or inward. And tonight we want to have some practical fellowship about the marks or the characteristics of an outward experience and the marks and characteristics of an inward experience. So that from 1 John, especially, we could see the exposure of these two kinds of believers. An inward believer who knows the Lord in an inward way and knows the teaching of the anointing, and also exposing the characteristics of an outward experience. Just a shallow experience without much substance. And eventually, everything is very shaky when you're just on for a ride. If you're just with the Lord in a convenient way, in what you may get out of this thing for yourself. But if the going gets too hard and the tests are too strong, it's like you're not sure if you bargained for such a life or not. And we have to see that it's possible to be just outward and go along as far as it's convenient for us. The Lord talks about this kind of person in the Gospels when he spoke about the parable of the sower, that the seed was sown into different kinds of ground. And one of the kinds of ground was the rocky ground, so that some of the seed fell upon a rock. And it indicates that it didn't penetrate into the ground. Some fell by the wayside, some fell among the thorns, and some fell upon the rocks. And that meant it hit the rock, but the rock prevented the seed from going any deeper. And the characteristic of that experience is that they received the word with joy at the beginning. And there was an initial burst of enthusiasm, an outward expression of following the Lord and loving the Lord. And it was like everything was going great for several months. And then the Lord began to allow some persecution to come, some deeper dealing, some testing. And because of that, they got offended because of the word. Because of God's dealing in the life, and there was just a big rock there. That means something that was hidden just beneath the soil. Another motivation that was secretly there. And it was like, for a while, everything's going great as long as it's going for me. But then, as soon as things didn't go toward us, then that big rock got exposed. That means our own motivation for something else. So, that indicates there was a shallow experience, a kind of outward experience, in contrast to the seed getting all the way into the ground, where the ground is opened up and the seed actually gets in and then bears fruit. That's a deep experience, and that's an inward experience. That is also here in 1 John, that there was some that existed here in a shallow way. So we need to expose some of the marks of an outward experience that we could see also what is it to have an inward experience of the Lord, that we might be the ones living one with the Lord in the anointing, in the teaching of the anointing, and not drawn out. One of the characteristics of an outward experience is this: a person who walks in darkness with himself. Who walks in darkness with himself. To understand the inner experience, we have to start in the first chapter of 1 John. Because the first chapter and the verses leading up to the anointing near the end of chapter 2 are all crucial in understanding the inward experience and also the characteristics of the outward experience. And one of the things that's characteristic of this outward experience is walking in darkness with yourself. Look at verse 6. He says, "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth." So here, you have that phrase, walking in darkness. What does it mean to walk in darkness? This phrase, walk in darkness, describes a condition of living without the ability to see the real situation. Walking in darkness is living in a condition without the ability to see what is the real situation with yourself. And even what is the real situation in our relationships with one another. If I'm a person with a shallow outward experience of the Lord, I'm surely walking in darkness. And that means my condition is that I do not have the ability to see my real condition. This is the characteristic of being in darkness. You know, the Bible speaks about being in darkness, a person in darkness. What does it mean to be in darkness? It means you just can't see. You just can't see. You don't see the real situation. For example, if in this room tonight, all the lights were shut off and there was no lights shining from the outside and we were in total darkness, we would be in a condition where we would be unable to see our real situation. We couldn't see the proportions of the room. We couldn't see the chairs. We couldn't see anything. We just would be in pitch darkness in a condition of not having the ability to perceive and to see And this is characteristic of an outward experience. A person that's in darkness, a person that is not able to perceive. Look at chapter 2. Chapter 2 and verse 11. Of course, here he's talking about hating your brother. Verse 11 says, but he that hateth his brother is in darkness. See, now you're in darkness when you're in a kind of a feeling here of hatred. And walketh in darkness. And then listen, and knoweth not whither he goeth. He doesn't know where he goes. Because what? That darkness hath blinded his eyes. He doesn't know where he goes because the darkness has blinded his eyes. That means there's no ability to see the real situation because the darkness has blinded. So this is a description of what we mean when we speak of darkness. You see, if I'm in darkness and I'm an unbeliever and I don't know the Lord, then my response to the gospel will be just nil. My mind is darkened. I can't see my real condition. I don't see God's law and his provision of redemption for breaking that law. I don't see and have no perception of my real condition. Sometimes I've talked to some who are without the Lord. And there's no sense of need. There's no conviction. There's no realization that I'm a sinner. But there's a feeling that I'm okay. I'm all right. And apparently, everything seems to be going quite well with my life. But yet, I don't need God. I don't need Christ. See, that means that person does not have the ability to see and know their real condition. Because they are in darkness. Darkness is the word to describe the inability to see our condition. This is true concerning the person without the Lord. You see? And this is also true in degrees with believers. Even here in 1 John, John is not addressing the unsaved world. He's talking to believers. And he's talking about believers walking in darkness. So that indicates that it's possible to be in a condition in which I do not see my real condition. And this is one of the marks and characteristics of an outward person who doesn't really know their need, who doesn't know an inner life. To touch the Lord, which we will see in a more specific way in a little bit. And eventually, this kind of experience, if it remains and continues, that kind of person ends up as an antichrist. That is a little antichrist. That is against the anointing, against the inner life, and against the body. And even would leave the reality of the body. So this is what John is dealing with here. So he's quite burdened to really expose the situation. When you read these passages in chapter 1, not only is darkness mentioned, but there's a ring of unreality about an outward experience. Look at the verses, verse 6. It says, at the end of verse 6, and walk in darkness, we lie, and listen, and do not the truth. The Greek word truth is aletheia. This Greek word aletheia means reality. It means not only just objective truth, but reality. It can also be translated reality. So, and do not the truth, or it's like we're not in the reality. Not only in verse 6, but also in verse 8. It says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth or the reality is not in us. The reality is not in us. And these that were saying this in chapter 1 ended up as the ones in chapter 2 that went out from us. And that means they didn't live in reality. There was a lot of unreality that was characteristic of their experience. So an outward experience has the flavor of unreality. Not only that, it also is characterized by deception and being deceived about yourself and about your experience. Look at verse 8. It says, if we say that we have no sin, we what? We deceive ourselves. If you literally translated this from the original, it means we led ourselves into deception. We, by our own saying that we have no sin, we just led ourselves into deception. So deception is characteristic of an outward experience, and also shallowness. Darkness, unreality, deception, and shallowness. Look at verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. And listen, and his word is not in us. His word is not in us. That means we're shallow. The word is not in us, but we're just empty, shallow. These are all characteristics of an outward experience of the Lord. That there's a ring of unreality about our words. And there's also a sense of deceiving ourselves and being deceived. And also, there's a sense of shallowness, as well as being a person who cannot see his condition because of being in darkness. So these are marks of an outward experience. In contrast to an inward experience, there's reality there. I don't care if a person is 1 week old in the Lord, and he's only had Christ in him for 1 week. But in that 1 week, there's a touch with the Lord. There's a following the Lord. There's a knowing of the Lord to some measure, so that there's a ring of reality. And there's not a sense at all of a person, the person being deceived. And there's something solid, something genuine, and even something where the person can see their condition. See, this is in contrast to being in an outward relationship versus an inward relationship with the Lord. So these are a few characteristics. Another sign of having an outward experience is there's no fellowship. There's no real fellowship in life. You see, John the Apostle was burdened for all the saints to be in the fellowship in life with himself and the other apostles. So, if you look in verse 2 of chapter 1, it says, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So you can see the burden for fellowship. Fellowship with us. And that's fellowship with the Father and with His Son. And that means the fellowship of life. That's the flow of life. The moving of God. In the saints and through the saints, where there's a real fellowship, one with another. Okay, then look at verse 7. It says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. So this is not only fellowship with God, but it's fellowship with one another. And one of the leading features of an outward experience of the Lord is there's just not much fellowship. Not much fellowship in life. And that fellowship is a fellowship that has the sense that we're connected, we're attached, and there's a flow between us. Just like our body with all of its members. The fellowship of our body is the circulation of our blood. Because our blood circulates and our blood is moving throughout all the arteries and all the aspects of our body, there is a kind of fellowship between all the members. But listen, if my blood stops flowing, Dr. Steve could tell us here that if my blood stopped flowing, I would be dead and all my members would be, in a sense, detached and would be dead without any connection. But I'm so thankful that my blood is flowing right now. And because my blood is flowing, there's a fellowship with all these members, my right hand, my left hand, my head, my legs, my whole body is in coordination and in contact. And there's nothing detached here because there's a flow going throughout my body. And that is the circulation of the blood. So when there is the real inner current of life within us, and there's an inward experience of life in contrast to just outwardly existing as a Christian, then listen, there is fellowship with the members. That is all the members. The more they have the inward experience of life, the more there is the sense of fellowship. Because John testified, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son. That means there was an inward contact with God inside of the being of the saints. So that now if everybody lives in that realm, we have fellowship with one another. So this is a sign of either an inward experience or an outward experience. How much fellowship is there? And I don't mean a social gathering. I don't mean handshakes. I don't mean refreshments after the meeting. Although that's fine. I don't mean we've had a few meetings and decided a few things. Fellowship in the Bible is the current of God within your being and in my being meeting each other. So when God is in you flowing and God is in me flowing, when we meet together, when we associate together, we have fellowship with one another. Because we both have the same inner life. And we're touching this life together. So, it's like you have really something in common. What do you have in common? You have God in common. If you don't have an inward life, a fellowship with the Lord, and a real personal touch with the Lord, as John describes in these verses, it's like everything is so shallow. You have to make up things to talk about. And you have to find things that are interesting to hold the conversation together. You see? But I tell you, the more this fellowship intensifies in all of us with God, there's a flow in us, the more we have fellowship with one another. With one another. And this is not just a society, a social gathering. This is a divine organism whereby we are enjoying every member of this one body in the current of the divine life. Praise the Lord. My, this is marvelous. But the characteristic of our outward experience is a lack of fellowship, just a lack of fellowship with the brothers and sisters. That's why they went out from us, because there was no fellowship. And there was no fellowship because there was no inner life. There was no walking in the light. There was no reality there. But there was just an outward, shallow experience that ended up in a severance even of those ones with the saints. So we need to see this is a mark of either an inner life or an outward life. It's fellowship with the members. And that's verse 7. We have fellowship, you see, with one another. We might have read this verse. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with God. See? But here, the vertical is put as the horizontal. So that instead of reading the vertical, fellowship with God, it's fellowship horizontally with the members of the body. And that's the real test. That's the real test of the genuine inward experience of the believers, and that is to have fellowship with the members of the body. And this means our fellowship with God is not phony. It's real. Because there were some at that time that were doing what verse 6 says. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, that means they were talking about having fellowship with God, but they didn't have fellowship with the body. So, of course, John exposes this. They were walking in darkness. They didn't know their real condition. And they were not in the truth. Then he says, if they walked in the light, as he was in the light, then they had fellowship. You would think from verse 6, fellowship with him would turn into the reality of fellowship with him. But he just says, fellowship with one another. It's like saying, brother, that's the real test, whether you have fellowship with him or not, is if you have fellowship with us. So this shows us how we can decide and determine what is inward and reality with us and what is just an outward experience. It's by this matter of fellowship. Not only is there a lack of fellowship with an outward experience, but there's a lack of openness and a lack of transparency about ourselves. And that's in verse 9. You see, verse 9 of chapter 1 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The characteristic of their experience here, as we will see even further, is that there was no openness and confession. You see, this is also a sign of an outward experience. Or maybe you've never made an apology in your life. There's no confession. As if to say that everything we've done and everything we do is right on. You see, with all of us, we still have the flesh. And it comes out. And oftentimes, we sin. And we walk in the flesh. Now, those that have an outward experience have four walls around them. They're all locked up and closed in. And even though, just like everybody else, we've sinned or we've failed, there's confession. There's admission. There's even apology. That means there's openness. There's transparentness. Because there's an inward dealing with the Lord of confessing our sins, the blood cleansing us. And then that issues in fellowship so that everything is removed of a barrier existing in our relationship with one another. But to have an outward experience is just to be closed without much confession even, without much admission. This is characteristic of an outward experience, a lack of fellowship and a lack of openness. Also, what is characteristic of an outward experience is a presumptuous spirituality. A presumptuous spirituality. And that's in verse 6a. It says this, if we say that we have fellowship with Him. You see, this indicates that there were some believers that were saying this, but that wasn't the real case. Then verse 8, it says again, if we say that we have no sin, that means there were some that were saying that. And then there in verse 10, it says, if we say that we have not sinned, if we say, if we say, if we say. That means we say a lot of things, but there's no reality. And there's no truth there. And in verse 6, it says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him, this implies a presumptuous spiritual life. This is characteristic of an outward experience of the Lord. A just saying we have fellowship. But in that saying, there's not the reality. There's a lot of undealt with things. So, Sometimes the other believers don't know how to put it in words. Don't know what's wrong. Don't know how to describe their registration about that person. But John defines it. There's a ring of unreality. A ring of not being in the truth. Doing the truth. Doing the reality. Because there's a disparity between the confession and the outward appearance and the real condition in life. And this is characteristic of an outward experience. Not much real inward life, but just living in front of people as a Christian with smiles and praises of the Lord's and amens and how are you doing, but walking in darkness. And there's a sense of unreality there. You see, this means the characteristic of the outward experience is presumption. If we say that we have fellowship with Him. But not only presumption, but also making excuses. This is also characteristic of the outward experience. It's to conjure up reasons in our mind and excuses for even the sin that is presently indwelling our flesh. Verse 8 says, if we say that we have no sin, this sin here refers to the indwelling sin. It's even in the present tense. It means if right now, as a believer, we are saying we have no sin, that means we have no problems. We have no indwelling sin. John says, we deceive ourselves. We lead ourselves into deception. And no doubt, to say we have no sin is just to make excuses. To make excuses and give reasons for this indwelling sin. But this is characteristic of an outward experience, excusing ourselves. And also the characteristic is being defensive. Being defensive. This is characteristic of an outward experience, a defensive person. That's in verse 10. If we say that we have not sinned, this is in the perfect tense in Greek, which implies an act of sin, an actual committing of a sin, indefinitely indicates that the person is defending the fact that they have not sinned. Not only making excuses for their reactions and excuses for indwelling sin, but even defending that they didn't sin. See, these are all characteristics. If they say, if you say, if you say. These are all characteristics of an outward relationship. Anyway, to have an inward relationship with the Lord, a person that knows the Lord inwardly doesn't excuse himself, but confesses, opens up to the Lord, and opens up for all the light that the Lord could shine. And a person that knows the Lord in an inward way is not vindicating himself, defending. These are marks of darkness. Darkness means I'm excusing, I'm defending, I'm reasoning, and that means I'm just outward. There's no real living by the anointing. But when I live by the Lord inwardly, I'm just open to Him and contacting Him in a transparent way. So that the characteristic about a person living outwardly is a lack of light. Just a lack of light and of living in the light. Now look at 1 John 1 and verse 7 again. No, verse 5 first. 1 John 1, 5. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. Praise the Lord. God is light. Then verse 7. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another. Let me say that the characteristic of a saint and a brother or sister that lives with a real inward relationship with the Lord is there's light with you. There's light in your experience, in your dealings with the Lord, in our dealings with the Lord, we walk in the light. And we're touching God Himself. And we get light from the Lord. You know, truth comes from light. All truth comes from God who is light. When John talks about the truth in many places, and even Paul talking about the truth, we have to understand that the source of truth is light, which is, you see, God Himself. God Himself is light. Just like verse 5 says, God is light. So when we talk about light, we're talking about God Himself. Then, the expression of this light is truth. And we know that the Bible surely is full of truth, full of many truths. Things that have come forth from God. Even like the scripture says, all scripture is God-breathed. It's just breathed by God. It's the very element and essence of God. The scripture breathed out by God. So we must see the difference between the source and the expression. You see, God is light, and that light is expressed in many ways with the truth. Many times, we live on the level only of truth. We only deal with ourselves and handle ourselves of what we know is right and what is wrong. For example, you lose your temper. And you know in the Bible, according to truth, you shouldn't lose your temper. So, you apologize for losing your temper. Because you just lost your temper. It's not right for Christians to lose their temper. And because you know the truth, but the scripture says put off all anger and wrath and clamor, you might go apologize for losing your temper. And the level of your experience may just be on the level of truth. And if it only stays there, you remain shallow and outward. That means you just do something by the truth, not by the light. And that means that instead of opening to God and opening yourself to the Lord Himself to touch you, to cleanse you, to shine on you, even to have a dealing with the Lord over one experience of losing your temper. Instead of just patching it up, getting your conscience good again, you open to God. You touch God. You let God shine. Lord, why am I a time bomb with such angry feelings? And then begin to deal with the Lord. Lord, I'm so selfish. I'm so much for myself. God, get into me more. And you begin to deal with the Lord inwardly. Then, you are in the light. And you're inward with God. Rather than just doing things by truth. How much of our experience has this been on the level of truth? And not on the level of the light. The light is God Himself. I mean, it's you getting to God and it's me getting to God. And knowing God who shines as the light. So that we become one with His element as light. You see, verse 7 says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light. Yes, He produced all the truths. But you may deal with truths without dealing with Him. You may do things, and I may do things, simply in an ethical way. Just rearranging our life around. And just living outwardly. So that There's not much of God wrought into our being, and we do not have a real solid inward relationship with the Lord. A personal relationship whereby we've been under the light as He is in the light. So, an apology of a person who apologizes from the truth will rectify the outward problem, but will not minister that much life to the person. And will not convey fellowship that much. But a person who apologizes by contacting the Lord, opening to the Lord, confessing to the Lord, and allowing the Lord to shine, that apology will not only minister life, but it will bring in fellowship. It will bring in fellowship. Because of walking in the light as He, God Himself, who is light, is in the light. So that we live as children of light because the very element of what God's being is, light, gets transfused into us. Even Paul says, we are light in the Lord. That means in union with Him, in oneness with Him. We are light in the Lord. So when we walk in the light, so all of our living is not just on the periphery and surface, just living out truths. Truth is the expression of light. Light is the source. Light is God Himself. And John, when he talks about having fellowship, it requires that the believers have an inner touch with the Lord as light. Just like he says, walk in the light as He is in the light. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood is cleansing us from all sin. So that means I still may be a person much in darkness. I just put band-aids on my life. I just rectify things because I got caught. I got caught in my sin. And because I got caught, there's some social implications. So now I rearrange everything and make everything right. See? But I never got to the source. I never got to God. I never dealt with the Lord in an inward way. So this is the characteristic of walking in darkness. It's a lack of getting to the source and having a dealing with the Lord. And listen, in the church, in the body of Christ, we have to see, if we're living without a real personal touch with the Lord and dealing with our sins, confessing them to the Lord, and walking in the light as He is in the light, we're just living in a shallow way by truth. In that sense, we may be one that become antichrist. That means anti-inner life. And leave the fellowship of the body. So, this indicates with John, in trying to deal with this maze that he was dealing with, of all these ones professing and all this outward profession, he tried to show what was the reality here and what was the truth in the experience of the believers. So our burden tonight is that we would not be outward but be inward. To really touch the Lord and deal with God and get in the light. God is light. Let that light shine. Let God shine by the reality. Not deceiving ourselves. Not being in unreality. But being open in the fellowship of the body with confession and really touching the current of God so that we live in God and out of God. Then there's something solid there. So this is, I would say, the first characteristic of an outward experience is walking in darkness with ourselves. Walking in darkness with ourselves, including all these different characteristics. Then a second characteristic of an outward experience is walking in disobedience to the Lord speaking walking in disobedience to the Lord speaking. Look at chapter 2 and verse 3. And hereby we do know that we know him. In other words, this is the test now. Hereby we do know that we know him and are not just talking about him without knowing him. If we keep his commandments, if we keep his commandments, he that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments is a liar and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. Then he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. And the characteristic of this walk was obedience, not disobedience. Obedience to the Lord speaking, to his commandments and to his word. And we know, if we have an inward experience, we follow the Lord with his specific commandments. And even follow the Lord with his general word. His general word and his specific commandments. His inner speaking. And his speaking to us in the word and through the word. Just to obey, to follow the Lord. This builds up an inner life. But if we walk just talking without obeying and disobeying, we end up outward and shallow. And verse, of course, 5 says, when we obey the Lord, this is how the love of God is perfected in us. That means our love grows, our intimate touch with the Lord increases and intensifies. It gets perfected by obedience. You may say, Lord, I love you. I just love you. It makes me so hot in your emotion. All stirred up. You might speak in tongues and praise God and Jesus, I love you. You see? And be all caught up in an emotional realm. But live disobedient. Live without following his commandments and obeying his word. So, there's no real deepening and perfecting of the love. The perfecting of the love is not just an emotional thing. It's in the details of our daily life, obeying the Lord. And hereby we know that we know him. This is the test John puts. How to know the real reality. And that is to obey. And that way we even perfect our love toward the Lord as we obey him. Then, we also walk in darkness. If we're in an outward experience, not only with ourselves, but in respect to others, walking in darkness with others. And this begins with verse 7 and following in 1 John. He says, brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment which you have had from the beginning. That means this is not something you know. I don't know, but this is something you know. But it's gotten old with you. It's not fresh because there's a lack of experience. The old commandment is the word which you have heard from the beginning. See, then he says, again, a new commandment I write unto you. Which thing is true in him? That's what makes it new. That is what makes this thing new, because it's in him and also in you. Because the darkness is past, or literally is passing away, and the true light now shineth. He that saith, he is in the light, and hateth his brother, is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. The characteristic of an outward experience is surely walking in darkness in respect to our relationships with others. And this is described here in 1 John by hating our brother. And that means we have a definite feeling toward our brother. And because of that feeling, that hatred, you see, our whole interpretation, judgment, and view of the other person is distorted. You see, to live in the Spirit, to be one with the Lord, and to walk in the light in respect to others, means that our view of them is clear and accurate, without reading into their words, their facial expressions, or anything. The characteristic of a person that lives and walks in darkness is that they're off in their interpretations about other people's thoughts about them, feelings about them, and even their understanding of other persons and judgments of other persons. This is really characteristic here of a person walking in darkness. He cannot see where he's going, especially when he talks to someone else, because there's a hatred there. See, this hatred is a feeling of a bitterness, a grudge. If you hate your brother, there's an inward view. There's an inward cause for that hatred. There's an inward relationship of hatred. And because there is that hatred there toward that person, you stumble over everything they do. They can't do anything right, because your basic view of them is off. You see, look at what he says in verse 10 again. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light. That means he's living in spirit. The Lord's love is there. He's in the light. And then it says, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. Listen, none occasion of stumbling. Have you ever had a relationship with a person where they couldn't do anything right? If they, you know, even smiled, you stumbled over their smile. You stumbled over what they said. You stumbled over their breathing. Everything offended you. You got offended over this and over that and over this and over that, because you're in darkness and you don't see the real condition of your heart, that you've got a grudge. You've got a bitter hatred in there. And if you hate your brother, and inside there is that kind of feeling, the evidence of your hatred is how many times you get offended by them. And you're stumbling. Brothers, do you stumble over your wife? Is it in your home that your wife can't do anything right? And you get offended over this and offended over that? Probably it is because your heart is dark. And you've never dealt in the light with the hatred that you have toward your wife. Even the bitterness that's in there. That's been there for a long time. So no wonder there's always an occasion to stumble over this and over that. This is the characteristic of an outward relationship. You're always stumbling. You're always losing your temper. You're always angry. You're always misinterpreting. You're always misjudging. You're always this. This means your heart is dark. That means you haven't been a person in the light, because you're always stumbling over what everybody says and does. This is characteristic of being in darkness and not being able to see where you're going. So you just stumble again and again. But if we have, like he says, if he that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and that loving of the brother gets perfected in our obedience, so it goes, ties in with following the Lord, obeying the Lord, keeping his commandments, and this kind of living, perfecting the love, and that love being perfected is not only toward God, but toward your brother. So your relationship with your wife is not just, strictly speaking, a relationship with your wife. Your relationship with your wife reflects your daily obedience to the Lord. Whether you obey him, follow him, live in the light, deal with God, then the love gets perfected, and then we are in the light with one another. And these verses especially are in relationship to others. You see verse 10 and verse 11. verse 10, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light, stays in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. So we can see the condition of a person of not being able to see the real situation, the real condition, because of a lack of being in the source of God, the light, where there's confession and dealing, where the truth and reality is. And we're not just behaving and just acting out of even the outward truth, but we really know God. We know Him. We know the Lord. Because He's spoken to us. He shined on us. We've confessed to Him. We've dealt with Him. And we've had deals with Him. And we're living in that element. Then there's something there. So these are three characteristics of outward living. Number one, walking in darkness with ourselves. Walking in disobedience with the Lord speaking. And walking in darkness in respect to others. Then finally, the last characteristic of walking in an outward Christian experience is living without specific dealings with the Lord. If you and I do not have specific dealings with the Lord, the characteristic of our experience is outward. Not those that are in the anointing, following the teaching of the anointing, and staying in the body with the fellowship and the current. And that is a lack of specific dealings with the Lord. Look how John writes in verse 12 and 13. I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for His name's sake. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known Him. That is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. And I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. You notice how Paul, or John, speaks about the different levels. The fathers, you see, then he talks about young men, and then little children. You see, he talks about all the different stages. This refers to spiritual age. He's not speaking to the children's meeting, per se. He's speaking to those in the Lord, children in the Lord, young men in the Lord, fathers in the Lord. These are all terms describing the different stages in the spiritual life. But the thing is this. At every stage, we need specific dealings with the Lord. He says, I write to you, little children, in verse 12, because your sins are forgiven Him. That means at this level, they had specific dealings with their sins. Just like verse 1 and 2 of chapter 2 says, my little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So the little children there are connected with this passage on sins. And He says, if any man sin, then we have an advocate with the Father. So that means that they had a real dealing with their sins. We confessed our sins. You know, sometimes we may excuse our sins or allow our sins to accumulate and pile up and collect on our conscience. Many sins on our conscience until our conscience is somewhat numb rather than a sensitive conscience confessing the sins. So with the children, the little children, there were specific deeds. So that means they were inward. Then with the young men, they overcame the wicked one. And the word of God was abiding in them. I mean, they had specific dealings over Satan and with the word and in the word. They got into the Word. They got the Word into them. And because of that indwelling Word, they overcame. They actually overcame the devil in certain respects. So they had specific dealings with the Lord. And then the fathers had known Him from the beginning, indicating a mature, continuous experience of life. A mature, continuous experience of life. The fathers dealing with the Lord. This is the characteristic of an inward believer. Specific dealings. And let me say, if you're a week old in the Lord, you can have specific dealings. If we're 10 years in the Lord, we can have specific dealings. A specific kind of Christian life, rather than just a general Christian with a ticket going to heaven without any personal dealings with the Lord over our sin, over our flesh, and so forth. Not only dealings with sins and the devil and all kinds of things in the process of the growth of life, but also dealings with the world. Look at verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. So with the world comes the dealing with the flesh and dealing with yourself, your pride, the pride of life, dealing with your flesh, dealing with your eyes. Love not. You see, this all implies specific dealings. That's why in chapter 2 at the end, he says that you have an anointing and you know all things, and there were some that went out from us, but they were not of us. Because they didn't have an inner life. They walked in darkness. They had no dealings. They just lived outward. They lived behaving. They lived just rearranging their life with a few truths. But they never got into God. They never had a personal relationship with the Lord in a thorough, deep way. So, as a result, they didn't deal with the Lord. And the dealings over God's will. Look at verse 17. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. This means the will of God was settled in their life. To do His will. To live for the church life. For to live for His eternal purpose. His perfect will. Dealings. Where the will of God is once and for all settled in your being. You see? Then this all leads up to, you see, verses 18 and following. Little children, it is the last time. You've heard the Antichrist is coming, see? How are you going to discern the Antichrist? How are you going to know? How are you going to interpret? It's like you have to have an inner life. You must have an inward experience. With all of the aspects of living in the light, walking in the light, as He is in the light, having fellowship with the members, and just being so one with the Lord, day by day, even in obeying Him, and apologizing and loving the saints out of contact with God, not out of just keeping everything outwardly okay, and then having solid dealings with our sins, with the world, with the flesh, with the devil, concerning God's will, specifically, all these things. This will surely make us the ones who know the anointing, the teaching of the anointing, so that we will not go out, but we will be in the body. And in the body, not in a structural way, but in an organic way. That is not just outward here, but here inwardly, because our fellowship is also with the Father and with His Son, going on with the Lord in an inward way. Well, I praise the Lord that Brother John really shines the light on the inward experience and on the outward experience. So that it's not so simple among believers today. It's not cut and dry. Among us, we may be assembled here. We all may be apparently in the church. But it depends if we're really in the church or not. Whether we live with an inner life and living in the light, having the real fellowship, or whether we're just here, we just attend, we just say hi, we just have handshakes, we just have a little social contact, or whether there's a real inward fellowship with one another. Probably we could all find out where we are by just looking at how many times we stumble over so many. How many times we fumble and stumble over different persons in the body. What they say, what they do. You know, it means like you're walking along. It seems like you're going along with the Lord and you're, all of a sudden then you stumble again. You stumble because somebody said something the wrong way or they didn't look at you the right way. You see, always stumbling, stumbling. Rather than a solid relationship in love, which can only happen when you and I deal with God in the light. And our light and our love is perfected. Then it gets solid. Then all suspicion goes away. And every occasion to stumble is removed. And your relationships are not characterized by up and down, getting along, not getting along. But it becomes solid without a ripple, even when it's tested and it's tried. Even when you get evil reports, and even when other things come in that apparently are bad, and even when the other person fails. You see, there's still the love of God being perfected. And that kind of heart relationship and love relationship only comes if we are in the light, as He is in the light. Not as just some truths we know are in the light, as God Himself is in the light. Praise the Lord. Oh, Lord, we open to You. Oh, to be in the light and in the source. Not just to be on the outside, but to be, every one of us have a personal touch with God. Oh, may the Lord really infuse this into us and deepen the church life. Deepen our experience with Him as we go on with Him. Let's have some prayer and then some sharing. Amen, Lord. Amen.